not only have the roads deteriorated, but what is expected for goods that are transported safely by America's trucking industry? It's a shame that we've let the roads get to the condition that they have. We are truly the rolling inventory of America's goods.
In association with Business Forward, this is Answering America. I'm your host, Ed Meyer.
And I'm Jim Doyle, president of Business Forward Foundation.
And I'm Allie Berry, also with Business Forward.
On today's episode, we ask, what can we do to improve our infrastructure? And we're speaking with Kevin Birch with Jet Express. Kevin, welcome to the podcast.
It's an honor, and so I'm glad to be here.
Tell us about your company.
We're not quite 40 years old. We're a truckload carrier.
So, Kevin, I want to get your perspective on the state of infrastructure in America. The American Society of Civil Engineers grades our infrastructure in the country as a D+. What grade would you give it?
I probably would rank it in that D area. I wouldn't go any lower, but it certainly isn't a C. Somewhere around that D area, we'll put a D- or D, or maybe a D+ is a little bit
too generous.
Too generous.
What impact does America's poor infrastructure have on your business, and what opportunities are we missing out on?
Well, what's interesting, this year will be 46 years of being in the transportation industry. I have seen in those 46 years a deterioration in so many things. But not only have the roads deteriorated, but what is expected for goods that are transported safely by America's trucking industry? It's a shame that we've let the roads get to the condition that they have. We are truly the rolling inventory of America's goods.
I wonder how your business thinks about toll roads. Do you think of it as a worthwhile thing to pay for good roads that don't damage your vehicles?
I have several thoughts on that. Being a past chairman of the American Trucking Association, I've been involved with a lot of data over the years on tolling and different things. There's statistics to show that money is needed to fund a toll versus interstate through a fuel tax system. There's a lot more money that goes into operating that and having people actually at the booths, and the admin costs are 4 or 5-fold.
Kevin, thank you so much for your time today. We really appreciate your thoughts and your insights.
Excellent. Take care.
We'd like to welcome Mayor Andy Shore, mayor of Lansing, Michigan, and Pat Gillespie, Michigan business owner in Lansing as well. Welcome to the podcast, gentlemen. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
Mayor Shore, tell us about yourself. How long have you been mayor, and a little bit about Lansing?
Well, I'm in my first term. We have 4-year terms. I love it. I've been here about 20 years. I'm one of those people who chose to live here because I love this city. We're the capital city of Michigan. We got a whole lot going on. In addition to state government, we have lots of different industries. We are an auto town. We have GM. We have incredible healthcare. We have IT. We have just a lot here. We have a wonderful downtown. We have some great neighborhoods in our city. We're growing. We're growing like crazy. I actually had another community in Michigan tell me they were jealous of our growth, which we always love to hear. We have about $3 billion in investment coming to our area over the next probably year or two. It doesn't mask that we still have to fix the roads and get police on the streets and things like that. We certainly have infrastructure issues.
Well, it sounds like one of the reasons that your city is doing well and having fun is because of some of the business interests that Pat Gillespie's involved in. Pat, tell us about yourself and about your business and the tenants in your buildings.
Gillespie Group is a real estate development company that's based in Lansing, Michigan. We employ about 95 people. We specialize in urban mixed-use projects. Our last 12 years, we've really focused on downtown Lansing, office, retail, housing, bar, restaurants, entertainment. Right now we're doing a grocery store, hotel, an apartment complex right on Michigan Avenue, right down the road from Mayor Shore's office. Our entire team is energized by being able to make these changes to a cool urban city here.
So the American Society of Civil Engineers has graded America's infrastructure as a D+. I'm curious, from both of your perspectives, how would you rate our infrastructure in the United States?
Infrastructure is a challenge here in Michigan. Freeze and thaw really beats up our roads and our bridges, and we have serious funding challenges. We fund it all on a gas tax. So for our city, we are capped at our tax rate. We tax by what's called millage here. As an example, Lansing has about $300 million in road needs right now to fix our roads, and we get about $10 million a year. So that's 1/30th of the cost. So that lets us use Band-Aids, but it doesn't really let us fix the infrastructure. We can't really replace roads because it's about $1 million a mile. We can overlay and make them look nice for a few years, but it doesn't really fix the problem.
And Pat, what about you? You have a lot of interesting businesses that I think are your tenants, including Lansing Brewing Company. What have you learned from their experience in terms of the infrastructure they need to be successful? And what's the opportunity cost for that infrastructure not being up to speed?
I think D Plus is spot on for the roads and sidewalks, but there's a lot of other infrastructure that the Midwest, Michigan, and Lansing in particular does right. Lansing does a good job. We're really utilizing our riverfront now, where 20 years ago we weren't. And a big part of that is because they've invested in the infrastructure, as Mayor Shore said. D Plus is pretty harsh as an infrastructure overall, roads and bridges, yes. But there's a lot of things they're doing right that really are advantageous.
Well, Pat Gillespie and Mayor Shore, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast. Thanks for your time today and your insights.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
We're happy to welcome to the podcast today John Porcari, infrastructure policy expert and business person. John, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Ed. It's great to be here.
John, tell us a little bit about your background in government and in business.
Well, on the government side, I've worked at the local, state, and federal level on infrastructure and economic development projects. Most recently as Deputy Secretary of the U.S. Department of Transportation, which is the Chief Operating Officer role.
I want to talk infrastructure policy for a little bit today. First of all, thinking about the competitive landscape, good business leaders often keep an eye on their competitors. And how do we stack up in terms of the state of infrastructure in our country and how much we're investing in it?
Well, unfortunately, Ed, we're not anywhere close to where we need to be. We truly have global competitors. If you think about China as the principal long-term global competitor, they're spending about 7% of their GDP on infrastructure. If you think about what China's done on passenger rail just this year in 2019, they've spent $109 billion. We have spent a total of $6 billion through the Recovery Act nationwide as a one-time expenditure.
President Trump has spent so much time and political capital and energy obsessed with the border wall. And he's even threatened to shut the government down for funding for a border wall. And I can't help but think, what could happen if he put that much energy into finding ways to fund infrastructure investments?
It's something we all think about because as opposed to building a stranded, depreciating asset, which is what the border wall would be, you could actually make infrastructure investments across America in cities and towns and counties that would appreciate in value and that would have a proven impact on jobs. At the end of the day, infrastructure is not an end in itself. It's a means to an end for economic growth, for a better quality of life, for restoring some of the environmental values that we've lost in fighting climate change.
So people listening to this podcast might be driving down the road in their city. They may be seeing all signs of construction for road and rail and bridge work. And they might be thinking that their local municipalities are heavily investing in infrastructure. Why does the federal government need to be involved, or does the federal government need to be involved? And is there an argument to be made that these necessary investments could be decided upon and funded locally without growing the federal government's budget?
That's a really important question, and there are some who would argue that there should be little or no federal role. I'd go back to the founding of our republic, where from the very beginning, the federal government had a role in opening up the country to development by building things like the National Road, which is now US 40, through the Cumberland Gap, opening up the Ohio Valley, the early canals like the Erie Canal, which literally made New York a world power at the time. Every infrastructure project that we have is some combination of a local role and a state and federal role.
I've heard you talk before about the balkanization of infrastructure projects, where even if projects were just funded and decided upon locally, and let's just imagine there was an infinite amount of resources, if you just have local planning and focus without any sort of coordination, you could end up with balkanized infrastructure that doesn't connect in any meaningful way. Can you talk a little more about that and what the negative impact is to that kind of approach?
That's a really important issue, Ed. The local choices make up our transportation system, and those aggregate into a national system. All those pieces have to fit together. If you're trying to move goods or agricultural exports, for example, the inland waterway system has to be connected to the rail system. to be efficient and the interstate highway system. You need the kind of seamless transfers for moving both goods and people. If it was only done at the local level, it would be a balkanized system. If it were only done at the federal level, it wouldn't reflect local choices. And I think the genius of federalism as it applies to infrastructure is that these are local choices that very consciously also serve a larger regional and national function.
The American Society of Civil Engineers estimates that we need about $2 trillion worth of infrastructure investment over the next 10 years. If you go back to 2016 on the presidential campaign, both Secretary Clinton and Donald Trump were talking about at least $1 trillion infrastructure packages. I think a lot of people thought, well, at least whoever wins, there will be progress on infrastructure. We have not seen any meaningful progress over the past 3 years. And in fact, President Trump has proposed only about $20 billion per year in federal infrastructure investment. He talks about leveraging it with the private sector investment, but it seems like a lot of critics think that his plan doesn't really pan out. Can you talk to us about what you've seen come out of this administration in terms of infrastructure planning, and why, even though there seems to be bipartisan consensus, have we not seen any meaningful movement to a large, significant infrastructure investment plan in this country?
It is very frustrating because infrastructure is one of the few truly bipartisan topics out there. The proposal by this administration, which was short-lived and was roundly criticized on a bipartisan basis by both parties, would have had a relatively low level of investment, as you mentioned, about $20 billion per year. And the expectation was that would leverage 8 or 10 times that much in private investment. The fundamental problem here is that most of the transportation facilities and projects are true public goods. You can't make money off them directly, and the private sector, through public-private partnerships, is not likely to be interested in them. It's more true than ever now, where we're not even keeping pace with maintaining what we have, let alone building for the future. And when you talk about these large infrastructure investments, these projects of regional and national significance in particular, they're generational investments. The question we should all be asking ourselves is, are we doing the same for the next generation? Are we paying it forward? And if we're honest with ourselves, the answer is no, we're not even coming close. So on both fronts, both maintaining what we have and importantly, building for the future. It's certainly true in our transit systems, in our highway systems. You're starting to see that in aviation now, too. China is building and opening multiple new airports per year. The last major new airport in America was Denver. It's 24 years old.
Wow. John Porcari, thank you so much for joining us today on the podcast. We appreciate your time.
It's my pleasure.
Thank you, everybody, for joining us. And for more facts, data, and analysis, visit answeringamerica.org and read all about the questions that business leaders are asking across America. Thank you for joining us, and we'll look forward to talking to you on the next episode. Answering America is a production of Business Forward, hosted by me, Ed Meyer, and Jim Doyle. Produced by Jim Scott Polsonelli and Michael Herrenstein. Engineered by Mason Carlton. Recorded at Powerhouse Studios in Alexandria, Virginia. Special thanks to Caitlin Berkner and the Business Forward team, Ali Berry, Jana Platt, Alex Passanen, Susie Fitzgerald, Alexia Lipman, and Colin Buchanan. Thanks for listening. See you next time.